Joe Zakaki is the play-by-play voice of the Miami Hurricanes. And, of course, this weekend, Florida International on the schedule. Of course, coming off a win over Toledo over the weekend, 49-24.
Holy Toledo.
There you go. Joe Zakaki, welcome. How are you?
Joe, did you survive the glass bowl?
Pete, I did. I made only one mistake.
Uh-oh.
And which was, I forgot to say, holy Toledo.
Oh.
I thought I was going to break it out, and I didn't do it.
That would have been pretty good. Well, what are your thoughts of the, what do they call it, the glass bowl?
Glass bowl, yeah.
Nice? Is it small? What were your thoughts?
My thought of the trip to Toledo was, gee, I sure hope they don't lose this game, because that would really be even more depressing.
How was the food?
Oh, the food was great. I had a lovely steak dinner the night before with Bernie Kosar.
Oh,
and,
excuse me.
Yeah, the food was, the restaurant was excellent. Highly recommend it. And they had these great ice cream sandwiches for dessert. So, yeah, the food was great, and the people were terrific. They could not have been nicer. Everybody in Toledo was really, really good, really nice. It was a good trip. They won the game. People were nice. And so, yeah, we all feel good right now.
What is Bernie Kosar up to these days? And I've never met Bernie, but I hear he literally is like one of the most intelligent people you'll ever meet.
You know, he lives in Cleveland and still has something to do with the Browns. And he was one of the brightest quarterbacks or players, as you mentioned, Craig, that I've ever been around. Now, after his career, somewhere in like the last 10 or 12 years, much like many other football players, football caught up to him and put him in a kind of a precarious spot. But he's rebounded recently very nicely, and he, I think right now, is in a really good spot for him, probably the best he's been mentally and physically. And I tell you, people in that area love him. At dinner time, there must have been 40 people must have come over and asked for a picture with him. And so they revere him in the Midwest.
Well, I got to tell you, we'll get into Malik Rozier and the outstanding game he had. And this was a much easier time than I thought it was going to be, especially compared to last year. But I must tell you, the stat that just jumps out at you, Joe, in this game is that they didn't have a penalty. I mean, the Canes. And that's unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened, other than the Bubba Baxa kicking the ball out of bounds. They had, 12 penalties against LSU, and I know they work on this really hard every day in practice, that if you commit a miscue in practice, you jump offsides or have illegal procedure, you immediately are tossed out of that play, and you take a lap around the field, or a lap or two around the field, and you lose your spot. It's kind of like when you're a kid playing basketball, and if you're a team won, you stayed on the floor. If you lost, you went to the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
So then you go to the bottom of the list for reps. You got to wait to get back in. And maybe it's working. I'm hoping that it is working, because if they can play games, and I don't expect them to throw a perfect game, but be an efficient team without penalties and not shoot themselves in the foot, then they'll be a really dangerous team.
Yeah, no penalties, no turnovers, and no allowed sacks. I mean, that wasn't much for Mark Richt to get on the players about.
Yeah, but if you're Toledo, you're probably screaming, okay, great, that's ACC officials. And, you know, a couple years ago, 2 years ago, I actually had this conversation at the ACC meetings, and they brought the head of the officials by, and I said, well, I only have one question. I want to know why there are 9 of our teams in the ACC in the bottom 50 of most penalized.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me like I was nuts. I said, well, that means the others in the top 50 then, right? I said, no, not at all. I said, your conference is one of the most penalized conferences. Your teams are one of the most penalized teams or the conference of any conference going. And I said, you have good coaches in this conference. It doesn't make any sense to me. And so maybe they were over-officiating before.
Maybe.
Well, let's talk about Malik Rozier. We always have to start with a quarterback, and an outstanding game for him. He rushed for 3 touchdowns, a 37-yard pass for 2 more. To me anyway, my experience watching him the last 2 years, that's the best game he's ever played overall, I think.
Well, he was, he did a lot of good things in the run-pass option game, and obviously the 3 rushing touchdowns. I thought he threw the ball well most of the time. The pass to Jeff Thomas, I thought was a heck of a pass, a long one over the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Rick said it was a really good pass. Perhaps if he let him a little more, he might have caught it in stride. But I thought it was a good pass. I thought maybe the most impressive one, it was a third and long, and he hit Cager for a first down 30. I think it was the 31-yard completion, and went from one hash mark, from the near side hash mark, all the way across the far sideline. I thought that was a really good throw. I do think, and I think Coach Rick kind of tried to send smoke signals out again, and he's just keeping a lot of pressure on Rozier. I don't know if he's got a shorter leash than before, but you know, I thought it was interesting that he said, well, the guys behind him are getting better, and sooner or later, it's going to be time for the birds to fly the nest, meaning he's got to push them out. And so I do think that Malik's got a little bit of a leash on him, but he fights these guys off because he makes plays like he did on Saturday. He is a really smart quarterback, which he doesn't get enough credit for. He gets Miami into the right play most of the time. And obviously the most frustrating thing is the incompletions, because you know Coach Rick's calling, drawing up some pretty good plays. And then the other thing would be, you know, for all the people calling for Nicosi, again, Nicosi hasn't been mature enough to win that job. And he sees it every day in practice. If he's standing there in practice, he can go, well, you know what? Malik doesn't throw that out route very good. Doesn't throw that middle screen very good. If I throw those two, I might get in the lineup here, Coach Rick. And that's the way I look at it. And so I think Coach Rick wants to give Nicosi a chance and hopes that he has an epiphany at a game where he blossoms, but that hasn't happened yet.
Joe Zagacki, the voice of the Hurricanes, with us, with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. I want to ask you a general college football question outside of the Hurricanes, but it may come up someday. We saw North Texas do a fake fair catch that resulted in a touchdown. There have been debates back and forth between whether the NCAA would then, the officials want it outlawed, but I think the NCAA is going to keep it in for now. What's your opinion of that play?
Well, what would they outlaw? He didn't do anything other than stop.
I know, but there's the what were we talking about yesterday? Yeah, the plausibility of a dead play, even though there wasn't a whistle. It was just crazy.
Technically, the refs don't need to have a dead ball to blow, you know, to blow the play dead. There doesn't need to be a whistle. But they were embarrassed.
I thought it was a pretty clever play.
Me too.
Now, North Carolina used to have Switzer, Ryan Switzer, and he would kind of raise his hand up like he was faking, you know, kind of bring his hand up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I thought that was outside the spirit of the rule.
Yeah.
But in this case, this guy was kind of like a second baseman when a guy is stealing, and he just kind of looks up in the air as if it's as if the batter hit one in the air to try to confuse the runner, and everybody stopped. But I didn't think that he did anything out of the ordinary except show pretty darn good discipline of, well, I'm going to not move here, and hopefully it'll knock the crap out of me.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, you know, getting into this week's game, and you were broadcasting. We broadcasted the Canes in 2006, the first meeting, when that disgusting brawl happened.
Yeah.
I remember it like it was yesterday. I think 31 suspensions came out of that. 8 FIU players ejected, 5 Hurricane players. And that was Larry Coker versus Don Strock, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct, yeah.
That seems like yesterday, but it's hard to believe that was 12 years ago, Joe.
Yeah, that was a very ugly night, one that we hope we don't ever have to see again. And it just got out of hand in a hurry. You know, you had a lot of, which we'll have on Saturday, a lot of kids in Dade and Broward County that played against each other, and probably a lot of guys that think that they should be playing for Miami, and probably felt that way in that game in 2006. But the University of Miami wasn't a really good football team. Neither was FIU. And the referees didn't do a very good job of recognizing that thing was going to boil over in a hurry. And really, that was probably ended Coach Coker's career at Miami, even though it was like the middle of the season. It was one bad thing after another after that fight. And it just was such a black eye for the University of Miami. It was impossible to get around. And took them years to recover from it, and probably still are trying to get past it. And I hope they don't dwell on it too much on Saturday.
Former Canes coach Butch Davis is coaching the Panthers and doing a very good job. They're also a very well disciplined team. They've only got 14 penalties, I think, for the whole season.
Yeah, he's really coaching them up pretty well. I mean, I know what his formula is, and his formula is to build a defensive line. His formula is also to try to get older And his formula is to build a disciplined team on both sides of the ball. He wants to be able to have a good, very coordinated offensive line and run the ball and throw play actions, very simple. And then defensively, not give up the big play, but dominate the line of scrimmage with his defensive line. And he's got some big dudes in there, and he's kind of went the junior college route and the transfer route to plug some holes that will, at least in Conference USA, tilt the odds more in his favor. I'm not sure how much it will tilt the odds on Saturday or level the playing field, but they are personnel-wise probably in a pretty good spot compared to where they have been.
Final question for me. What's your favorite Butch Davis memory from the days back at the U?
Oh, man. You know, it always stood out to me, and I've known him for – I knew him for – obviously, he was the defensive line coach. I can give you two stories. One, real fast, he – I guess I could say this now. The statute of limitations would be up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's just
so,
us.
They go to Dallas, and I still am talking to Butch every day – or not every day, every Tuesday – about football. The coaching staff had moved on to Dallas. And so I'm talking to him about football and getting information for my own talk show. This is pre-cell phones, internet, and, you know, the way news breaks. And he says, yeah, Jimmy's about ready to make a trade. I said, really? Who's he trading? He said, Herschel Walker.
Breaking news.
I go on the air in the morning and kind of use that story in a lot of different ways, and all hell broke loose. I didn't say his name, but everybody's like, you know, how would this guy in Miami know about a trade in Dallas? And it took the Dallas media about 6 hours to, you know, try to connect the dots coming back to South Florida. And then for 3 days, Jimmy denied it. And then it was a Tuesday, I think. And then by Friday, of course, it was one of the biggest trades. But I do remember this about Butch. As a coach in Miami, how he got his team to play so hard for him, how he got them to join together, be a team, and play for each other and be unselfish. And I remember, I want to say it was 2000, Miami beat Syracuse. It was maybe the second to last game of the year and right at the end of the season. And Canes were really rolling. And I remember going into the locker room, and he had a rookie sports information director with him, Doug Walker, who was now at Texas A&M. And I remember also him grabbing Doug and saying, you see, this is the way it's supposed to be at Miami. And it was the fact that they were celebrating. They had just went on the road and beat Syracuse bad. And I think they had won 11, 12 games in a row at that point. And you just knew that they had built a juggernaut.
Yeah, yeah. And how much of Butch Davis, that great 2001 team, I think the greatest college football team ever assembled from top to bottom, how much of his influence went into that, even though he didn't coach them, right? It was that was all his recruits, or most of them, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, those were his recruits, sure, absolutely. That was a veteran team. I mean, that was his recruits. I don't want to deny the fact that the guys on the staff that were with him, which did include Coker and, you know, all those guys, Solinger and Art Kehoe, and Chuck Pagano was on that staff. Wow. You know, Greg Schiano was with him the year before 2001, so Schiano had recruited a lot of players before he moved on to be the coach at Rutgers. I mean, he put together a hell of a staff. Chazinski was on the staff. Dan Werner was on the staff. And those guys were just, you know, recruiting experts. So under his guidance, yeah, they put together probably – if not the great, you know, probably the greatest team, maybe, you know, other teams, Nebraska of 83, even though they didn't win, they would probably argue that, and Miami's 86 team would probably like to argue that, and they didn't win the championship either, but if they're not the best, it's pretty darn close.
Well, Joe, we'll be listening on Saturday against Florida International. Thanks again for coming on. We always enjoy it so much. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, guys. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, Joe Zagacki, the Hurricanes, Saturday afternoon. Brought to you by Game Time, by the way.